I know I am insufficient to the task of displaying just how exciting and joyful this message should be. Please pray that the Holy Spirit would communicate to your hearts just how big and holy this is, because I know that my voice will not be able to properly convey it. Please join me in a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, my Lord and my God, if you are not present, then this is a waste of time. Lord, we know that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are present with us. So we know that you are here this morning, Lord God, and we praise you and we thank you. Please transform our meager worship into a sacrifice worthy of you, O God. You are holy, 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 and we come into your presence. We praise you and we thank you. You are the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I get to preach about very good news. The title of the message is Eschatology Should Be Exciting, Not Scary. Just listen as our scripture reader for this morning shares about how much God loves us. The scripture reader may come forward and read now.
1 John 4, 7 through 18. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest unto us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we may come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love.
Thank you so much, Don, for sharing the word of the Lord with us. Over the last several weeks, we have had the privilege to hear preaching about the creation, the fall, our redemption. And now this Sunday, I get to preach about the restoration, not just to how things were, but the full restoration of the relationship between God and man to the way it was meant to be. Brothers and sisters, did you know that on that day, on that great and glorious day, when Christ shall come to take his bride to be his own, on that wonderful day, we are going to have a wedding. And not just any wedding, but that wedding that all other weddings are just a foreshadowing of. It is going to be the wedding between Christ and his church. And I hope that will be all of you here this morning. There have been many false prophets who have manipulated passages about the end times to produce fear in order to manipulate believers. They use eschatology, which just means the study of end times, to invoke fear and selfishness. But God's perfect love casts out fear. So rather than being afraid and selfish, we should be excitingly trying to share what God has given to us and inviting all who will listen to join us on that great and glorious day. Because while we do have a wedding to look forward to and only need to fear God in the sense of honor or reverence, for those who do not have that wedding to look forward to, they really do have a lake of fire to be afraid of in the scary sense of the word. I don't want any of you to live in that fear, but to see you all at that wedding. The main reason that God has told us anything about what is to come is to change how we will live today. So as we work through these passages together this morning, let's be thinking about how we should be living today. As a church, we are considering an elder statement of faith that includes the following. It's in section 14.3. It says, "We believe that the end of all things in this age will be the beginning of a never-ending, ever-increasing happiness in the hearts of the redeemed, as God displays more and more of his infinite and inexhaustible greatness and glory for the enjoyment of his people." If we really do believe this, then to me, that doesn't sound like the end times are scary at all. That sounds awesome, like it should literally invoke awe for those of us who are in Christ. When you think about it, do you feel the awe, brothers and sisters? Are you in awe of what the Lord has done and is doing and is going to do? Hallelujah. Okay, let's establish our goals for the message and get into some scripture to back them up. We want to, one, get excited about our upcoming wedding day. Two, allow the perfect love of God to cast out our fear. And three, bravely share this excitement with anyone who's willing to listen. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, starting in verse 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. The Lord is not unaware that there will be evil days. He tells us to be mindful of our walk because of them. We have things a lot better here and now than the first century church did under Rome. So if the word of God was given to them in their dark days, surely it can teach us in the here and now." Paul goes on in Ephesians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." This is what our walk should look like. Is this a description of how you are living in these days? Really ask yourselves these questions. Do you get intoxicated? Are you filled with the Spirit? Do you make melody to the Lord with your heart? Are you a person who is genuinely grateful toward God? We should be. Not intoxicated, but the other ones. I also want to point out that the submission we owe to one another from this passage is not because of who the other person is, but out of reverence for Christ. If you want to meditate on this more, I actually think our church covenant does an excellent job of reinforcing this point. I would encourage you all to meditate on that as the Lord gives you opportunity. Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Let that sink in. A man and a woman becoming one flesh is a mystery that should point us to the restoration, to the right relationship between Christ and his church. That is intimate. That makes me think of what Christ said in John 14, verse 20. "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Do you see that those of you who are in Christ will one day know a union with your Lord that will make it clear that the intimacy of marriage was just a foreshadowing of that great union with Christ that is to come? This is a big deal. Let's look at John 14 closer for some more instructions on how we should be living. Starting with verse 14, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. Heaven is getting to be with Christ. That is why our hearts should not be troubled. This is the future that we hope for. Let's skip ahead to John 14, verse 10. Jesus said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The word that I have said to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." It is important to see here that because Christ has union with the Father is the reason why our union with Christ will also connect us to the Father. Picking up in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." That one isn't a promise for tomorrow. No, that one is for today. Today is the day that we have the help of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live these courageous lives. This is one of those already but not yet things. If you are saved, you have union with God today, but it is more like the unity between an engaged couple. But on that great and glorious day, it will become even better than the unity between a married couple. Wow. John chapter 14, verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word, and the word that you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Has Jesus manifested himself to you? Our God is not some kind of genie who you can summon when you wish, but have you ever actually encountered the living God in any way? Do you obey his commandments? I know already that you don't do so perfectly, but are you trying as the Spirit gives you power? If he has, and if you are, by the Holy Spirit's help, then I can promise you the Father loves you. And you and your future include union with the triune God. As we just saw, if that is not you, however, please let us know. We want to pray with you and for you that you might be there with us on that glorious day, and that you might encourage us today as we try to live out that hope. We do want to care for you. Now, our Lord didn't leave us to panic or worry. No, John 14, verse 27, he said, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Can you believe all this? If yes, how has it changed the way you live? If not, do you want to? Let all of us who can honestly do so pray, O God, we do believe. Please help our unbelief. Now I can hear someone saying, I do believe, and that is going to be awesome. But doesn't it get scary first? So let's consider what it says in 1 John 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. We just recently saw, brothers and sisters, another failed prediction about when the rapture was going to happen. This is just one more example of these false prophets that I mentioned at the beginning of the service. As we established in the first century church, there were dark days. And so we look at days that may be getting darker. Let's look at more of what the Lord told those believers. Again, 1 John verse 4, now in verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Don't allow yourselves to be distracted with the fear of some future Antichrist when the scriptures are clear that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Just look at the confidence John says we can have, picking back up in 1 John 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Brothers and sisters, do you see how your confidence comes from union with Christ? Because of this, you can test your teachers. Are the words you are hearing here from God or from the world? That is your job to discern. What about the words you hear or read elsewhere? Be on guard to know what you are getting and where it comes from. It is a very good test to evaluate the teaching we are encountering, be that in sermons, the news, books, YouTube videos, or even conversations, by asking, does it cause me to love God more, or does it cause me to be distracted from God more? In 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Hallelujah. God's love is why we are saved. And we show that we have God's love and that we have union with him by how we love one another. Not some begrudging forced affection, but out of the overflowing abundance of that love with which God loves us. In 1 John 4, verse 14, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. Beloved, God's love and his union with his church means that we as members of that church can have confidence when we think of the day of judgment. 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. There it is, brothers and sisters. The love of God is why we don't have to be afraid anymore. It doesn't matter how dark the days get. Those of us who are in Christ have the perfect love of God. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Very good. Back to the scriptures. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So if you are listening to a teacher who claims to love God, but is stirring up your heart to be afraid or unloving in some way to another person or group of people who are made in the image of your God, then these passages would seem to indicate that they are liars. We should want to see all of our opponents converted to receiving the love of God and joining us in fellowship within that love, not to see them cast out or destroyed. We want converts. Let's get back into some of that beautiful wedding imagery that I love so much. And this time we will find it in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's it. That's the day I am so excited for. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. Wow, what a future for those of us in Christ. Even more, what a God. Glory be unto his name forever and ever. Amen. Now let this drive the point home. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Don't you see, brothers and sisters? The days are evil now. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world now. The Holy Spirit has been sent to be our helper now. The call to love and let God's perfect love cast out our fear is now. So don't let anyone trouble you about tomorrow, because you know what is coming, a wedding and union with the triune God. So how will you live differently? I hope that by looking at these passages, you are now even more, one, excited about our upcoming wedding day. Two, moved by the perfect love of God to no longer be afraid. 3, ready to bravely share our excitement with anyone who is willing to listen. Let us pray to close the preaching section of our service this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, my Lord and my God, I beg of you this morning to fill your people with faith and hope and love, that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can, out of the overflow of your love and with excitement for that great and glorious day that is to come, live lives of obedience, worship, and most importantly, love. We praise you and we thank you, our glorious King. Hallelujah and amen.